Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, would you know a Chablis from a Rioja? Do you care that there's a difference between a Bordeaux and a Burgundy? I can feel people texting already. Well, Bridget O'Hara, better known as Bridie's Wine Chat on Instagram, is on a mission to change that. She wants to level the vino playing field through her book, The Home Sommelier, and she joins me in studio now. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you getting on?
I'm good. I'm really good. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted you're here because you've come all the way from Achill.
Yes, I live on the furthest, most westest part of Ireland. So, yeah, I'm a traveller for sure.
And did it take you long to get here?
About 9 days, yeah.
Did you walk?
And actually, funnily enough, I lived in Dublin for a long, long, long time. But I put the sat-nav on to come to RTE this morning and I promise you, three times it brought me to UCD. So I had to just leave my car in UCD and walk the rest of the way.
Well, you made it here.
Phileas Fogg
indeed. Now, we're going to go back to 2016 and your life was turned upside down.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That fateful day in June.
Go on then.
Well, yeah, so I was actually at the pinnacle of my wine career and I was part-time lecturing with TU Dublin, and that's exactly where I wanted to be. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Fell pregnant and TU Dublin were like, yeah, that's fine. You can teach while you're pregnant, blah, blah, blah. So then I went in for my first scan and yeah, within 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, my whole life turned upside down when they found three babies.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had to move house, get a new car, leave my job. I couldn't work for 6 years. Yeah. Not really. So they're lovely now.
How old are they now?
As I say, they're a great age now. They're eight.
Yeah.
But the first 4 years was really, really full on. Very challenging. And your whole, literally everything in your life changes.
Well, someone just handed you three babies. Like, it's just hard to imagine, isn't it?
But also I used to always say, like, in the first year was grand because I was a waitress for so long. So you become very organised and you're well able to stock the station. And, you know, the nurses used to say, just treat them like they're ratty customers. So the first year was fine. But then, yeah, when they get mobile and they start crying and then they cry for like 3 years, bless them. But I think the universe is paying me back now because they're lovely and they get on well. And, you know, it's definitely a nice period we're in.
Oh, lovely. And yeah, they can make their own beds and, you know, go
yes.
to the, do their own things now. Yeah.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You moved to Achill.
Mm-hmm.
What's your connection to Achill? Because you don't have an Achill Island
oh,
accent.
No, not yet. So my dad's from Achill and we would have spent all our summers, Christmases, Easter down there growing up as children. My mother was an artist and she did a lot of art down there. So, I mean, really, we were living in Kildare Town and we were trying to buy a house, failing badly. The same old story. And I had a brainwave. I was like, look, I'll take the children to Achill for 6 months just to save a little bit more money.
Yeah.
And within 3 months of living there, I was like, yep, that's it. I'm not going back up.
I absolutely love Achill.
Oh,
it's magical, isn't it?
And it's really hard to explain unless you've been there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And listen, if you had said to me 3 years ago you're going to end up living in Achill, I would have thought you were crazy. But then you go there and you realise it's very doable.
Yeah.
It's very peaceful. It's absolutely stunning.
It's wild as well. It's a wildness to the
wild.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be a bit fishbowly, you know, like a little bit. But you're so busy that you don't really have time for that kind of element of peeking out the curtains because you're just getting on with normal life. So, yeah, it's fab.
So you started your online Instagram, Bridie's Wine Chats, just having the chats, really, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm just me being the freak that I am. I always throw myself in far too quickly. And on the first week of setting up the Instagram in lockdown, I went, ah, sure, I'll do a live because everyone else was doing a live. So the first live that I did, I only had a couple of hundred followers and like I think 50% of them turned up for the live. So it kind of went from there and I was just teaching people how to taste supermarket wines during lockdown. And I had a captive audience, you know, there's no denying it. So I was lucky that I set it up at that time,
yeah.
And people were looking for something to do. And yeah, it was great. It kept me sane. And the amount of people that still say,
I haven't driven home your qualifications in this. So you were lecturing in TU in.
Yeah, in wine.
In wine. Like, so you, yeah. You've got lots of, you have a master's in this.
Yeah, so like I've done all my wine up to my wine higher diploma, but I have a master's in hospitality okay. management, which I finished when the kids were two, because that's just me all over. But I have my full qualifications. And like I've done a whole variety of jobs in the wine world. Wine buying, selling, wine writing, sommelier. But for me, I just find my most akin to kind of talking to people who want to learn a little, the wine novice rather than the wine nerd.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, And I just think that there's a load of people who want to, find it very intimidating, and they just want to learn a little bit.
And you know, we don't really have a long culture with wine here. It's only in the last 30 years, really 40 years, isn't it?
For sure. And listen, part of my message really is all about quality over quantity. And I'm trying to educate people of, like, for me, wine is with food.
Always.
Always with food.
Yeah.
And listen, don't get me wrong, I spend most of my 20s drinking wine, you know, without any food and not having a care in the world. But really, that's not the way the wine was produced for. It's produced for your beautiful, you know, meal that you have pairing it with. So like I understand people's, when they walk into a shop and they see a wall of wine, you're like, where do I start?
Yeah, of course.
So I feel that in people.
Yeah, because my dad would never have bought wine in the house, or, you know, would never have been there really in restaurants, of course.
Yeah.
So we don't have a tradition of learning about it like our Mediterranean cousins.
Yeah, but funnily enough, and they say this at a lot of the wine expos around Europe, that the Irish market are a very, very interesting market, because we're very learned and we're very, we do have the highest tax and excise on wine in Europe. So therefore, if you're going to spend more money on wine, you need to do a little bit of research on it.
Interesting.
So they do find the Irish market is a very respected and learned market.
I'll just ask them personally. I do a little dry spell just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And what's any good non-alcoholic wine options are there? Are they getting better? Are they good?
Absolutely. Now, they were a dog's dinner a couple of years ago, and definitely the beer industry was far
more superior. Far
superior. However, there's a really, really good there's an Irish guy called Ronan Farrell, and they have a brand called Hollow Leg, which are like super non-alcoholic wines, Albarinos and sparkling wines. I do a lot of
Hollow Leg. I just got that.
Hollow Leg.
It's
brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I also do judging for Irish food and drink products, and the Nosecco in Aldi is like won the best product of the year in terms of drink. And like, you know, I mean, it's really, really drinkable, really approachable. Yes, you do kind of have to know which ones to buy, but my advice would be try and stick to a sparkling wine if you're going non-alcoholic.
Okay.
Because the bubbles help kind of give it a bit of a lift and a bit more texture.
So you wanted to democratize how we look at wine, so everybody should have a baseline knowledge of it. And that's the book. So the book is called?
Yeah, the book is called The Home Sommelier. And I purposely wrote it in very conversational English. I added in like normal foods that we eat. I just kept seeing food and wine pairings of like lobster and like roast beef, and you know, I might have roast beef twice a year. So I added in like a fry,
like a fry.
Yeah. A ham and cheese toastie, a bag of potato, cheese and onion, bag of popcorn.
That.
You know, just and like, listen, it's not about having these strict rules. It's more that your food doesn't spoil your wine, or the wine doesn't spoil the food. Really.
Okay.
And kind of giving people an understanding of that. It's not like these hard and fast, strict rules at all. So I just wanted to make it as well. I've done a full chapter on the wishy-washy wine words and how annoying they are. Now, I get them because I work in the industry. But
give us a word.
Like, they talk about like fleshy and structured and angular and lean. I mean, come on. You know, let's all get a grip here. Just tell me what the wine tastes like. Tell me what it's going to
feel
in my
mouth.
So
you can say fruity or floral. You can say those words, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I think as well, what I did with the grapes, I tried to humanize them. So I've turned like Cabernet Sauvignon into, you know, he's your big gym loving buddy with, you know, big muscles and stuff like that. So people can try and kind of associate the structure of a wine with a human, nearly.
Oh,
you know?
Really? It's really good. So just quick, ahead of Christmas, tips for purchasing wine. Just give us a couple.
Oh, gosh. So one of the things that I talk about in the book is high value, high quality regions. So look, as you were saying earlier on, we know the Chablis, we know the Riocas, but they have like a Gucci effect on them and they can charge you more because it's from a certain region. So try and look for the regions that are maybe, you know, 100 kilometres down the road in terms of same grapes, same soils, same climate, but half the price.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So like southern Italy is full of these type of regions. Sicily, Puglia, the Languedoc in France, you know, mimics the Rhone Valley, but it's like half the price.
Brilliant.
So those types of regions.
So Bridget O'Hara is the home sommelier. Your down to earth guide to choosing good wine is out now in all good bookshops.
Yes.
A delight to chat to you.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much.
I'll